Okay. So just quickly, Chazer, what we established last week, because that'll be a springboard to the halachas that we'll discuss Mirat Hashem this week. Last week we discussed the halachas of Lisha. Lisha is the malacha of kneading, and we focused on the fact that there are really two major critical points that a person has to focus on when it comes to the malacha of Lisha of kneading. There's one that's developed based by Rebbe's opinion in the Gemara, which is Nesinas Hamayim, the original placement of water into the batter. That is Lush, according to Rebbe. And Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda is the other opinion in the Gemara that holds that Lisha is only in the classic sense when you're kneading, you know, what we associate with challah and what we think is the way when a person physically interacts with the batter, that's mishas lisha ve'elach, like we have legabe chiyuv challah. So that would be the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So it's not 100% clear who to paskin like. We pointed out last week that may ikar adin, we seem to paskin like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, that the real mekoy, the real lisha, is specifically at the time of Lisha, at the time of Gibel, when a person is moving around the batter, moving around the dough. But the Shulchan Aruch writes that unless it's an extreme situation or unless there's a necessity, a person should also be machmir for the opinion of Rebbe. And even when you're placing water into a mixture, that is also something that a person should be machmir about. So therefore, we pointed out that any time you're going to put liquid into any thick matter, specifically because we distinguished between thin and thick batter, so anytime you're going to put any liquids into a thick batter, we spoke about baby cereals, we spoke about egg salad, putting water, putting oil into any of these pastes, anything that is not, when you pick it up, is not going to drip out, but is going to be more of a glob, more of something that you could throw and it would have a thick consistency. So if that's the case, a person ideally should stay away, even according to Rebbe, from that original stage of Nesinas Hamayim. If a person is making a thin batter, which was what's called in Halacha a blila raka, so Chazal told us when it comes to a thin batter, when it comes to an entity, a consistency that pours out of a cup, if you would flip it around, so then you would not have to be concerned with Nesinas Hamayim because you can implement a shinoi. You could just switch the order of normally putting it in and then also make sure when you mix it up that you're going to also do a shinoi at both stages, which is not a big deal. You implement a shinoi at the first stage at Nesinas Hamayim according to Rebbe and at the second stage at the Shas Gibel when I'm going to mix it up. And it's very simple. It's more complicated when, according to Rebbe, the second the water's coming into contact with the paste or with the batter, then it's already going to be lush. So a shinoi wouldn't help with that, and that would be a shaila d'oraisa. So therefore, ideally, we suggested last week, unless a person needs to be makel about this, then a person should be machmir. So it was brought up last week at the end of the shiur. Lauren asked the question about guacamole. So guacamole is a thick paste, and we were talking about putting in liquid into the guacamole, and I don't even know what liquid is put into the guacamole. Lemon juice. So you put lemon juice into the guacamole, so that's Nesinas Hamayim, into something thick, that according to Rebbe, a person should be machmir. So based on everything we said, l'chora, you would not be allowed to make that on Shabbos. You would have to do that on Erev Shabbos, unless, I don't know, you extremely you have like this, you only eat guacamole, and that's like the only thing on your diet. But I don't think that that's the case. Why? So I was thinking about this for the following reason. Mishnah Brura has, at the bottom of the Mishnah Brura, he has a piece called Sharatzion. Sharatzion is basically the gates of the Tziyunim, of all of the Mar Mekomos, all of the citations that he was recording. He tells you, like, whatever, the Mishnah Brura is basically, it's a compilation of all the poskim, all of halacha, you have the Shulchan Aruch, and if you open up a Shulchan Aruch, so on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, you have all these guys that are commenting on what the Mechaber is saying. Mechaber makes a statement, that's Psak and Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah records the Ashkenazic practice, and then basically you have all the Achronim that came later that developed into whether we accept the Ramah, how we change the Ramah, and what, that's the Magen Avraham, the Taz, the Prima Gadim, all of these Nosei Kalim that basically developed Halacha. Came along the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, and he did a tremendous Avodah to us, which before the Mishnah Berurah, Halacha was difficult, because he basically compiled all of the Prima Gadim, the Reb Kiva Egers, the Magen Avrahams, the Tazes, and he put it all into a Sefer called Mishnah Berurah. It's not such an easy Sefer, because you have to understand where everything's coming from, and you're not going to really fully understand unless you really go through all stages, because they're complicated sugyas. But he basically recorded all of them and gave us Psak Halacha from what he thinks is the right Mahalach through all their practices. So in the Shaar HaTzion, which usually is just Maror Makomos, he writes a line like this. He says, based on everything that we developed, he says there's another ramification. He says, let's remember, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, which is the mixing, the gibel, that's really what most Rishonim Paskin Lisha is. So when you make sure that you're going to have an indirect manner, like we pointed out last week, if you do Shesi Ve'erev, right? So you say we did crisscross, and we said the Chazanish says when you're crisscrossing, you're making sure to take it out each time, because otherwise it's just going to be regular mixing, and that's not going to be a good Shinoi. Or we said, Rav Moshe said that you could use the handle of the spoon. You use the handle instead of using the spoon itself. So those are shinuim at the time of the gibel, at the kneading process. So Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that suffices. There's nothing beforehand. That's the lisha when it comes to the malacha of lisha. That's the kneading at the time of the gibel. So says the Mishnah Berurah, well, Rov Rishonim really paskin like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. It's true. We suggested that, you know, in a normal situation, a person should try to be machmir in deference to Rebbe's opinion. But says the Mishnah Berurah, what happens if you have a food that if you make it Erev Shabbos, it's not going to be as good? Says the Mishnah Berurah, this is another situation where I think that a person can rely on the Ikar Adin on Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Now, here's my question for you. When it comes to guacamole, is guacamole only going to look different? I know that it turns brown, so it doesn't appear as nice. But here's my question: does it taste different? I'll tell you why I'm asking you. Because when I found the Shaar HaTzion, I asked Reb Shechter the following shaila. I said the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Shaar HaTzion that if it's going to be not as good, so then you could paskin like Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, which in effect would mean what? All I have to do is make sure that I make a shinoi at the time of mixing, which is not the biggest deal. I'll make my guacamole, and I'll be fine. Right? However, Mishnah Berurah, Lechora, what happens if I tell you like this? It'll taste just as good, but it won't look just as good. Would that be included in the Mishnah Berurah's reason to paskin like the Me'ikar Adin, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, of saying that I could ignore Rebbe Shita in such a situation? So it's really your answer that can really decide whether or not we can make guacamole.
I think you get watery sometimes.
Right. So I think my wife thought, and that's why I wanted to hear the consensus from you, that it's not just an appearance, but people actually, in terms of taste, would rather not serve old guacamole, not just because you don't say that. You don't say it. Not only because of the appearance.
Yeah,
okay, good. Good. So it's based on that and based on the Shaar HaTzion that I think the guacamole would be mutter, but what? You have to make sure that you do a shinoi at the time of the gibel.
And do you have to put in, doesn't matter the order that you put in it? Or
no? So it's always good to be Mishana the Seder, even if you're going to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, my question is, if we say that most poskim, paskim like
Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, not Rebbe.
Sorry, right, the more Miko.
Yeah.
Then why are we so hoshi from Rebbe's opinion if the consensus is like, I feel like in halacha there's...
No. So, the halacha was, meaning, it's not just like, oh, there's a majority and we decide to be... The halachic svarim brought down the Trumas Hadeshin that was Machmir. Meaning, it's the Ramah that brings that down. So, any time they're going to bring down, that means that it's not just like... I'm presenting it in order to educate the but it's not that it's like a foreign shita. The halachic svarim brought his opinion down, and therefore in certain predicaments we can rely on what most opinions, but it still holds true in terms of the halachic process. It wasn't discounted. You're right. In a situation where he was outvoted and it doesn't make it to Shulchan Aruch, just because you have a Rishon out there that learns a sugya a certain way, that's not going to necessarily come in. But when in the halach, in the svarim themselves, the sifrei halacha themselves, they do bring his shita down, and therefore they think that he should be addressed lechatchila. So then we have to take that. But no, but the Rav told you lechad chila. This is what, we always have difference lechad chila, and you know, ideally.
The reason that you can do it if you can't make it before Shabbos, and in all the other situations like baby food, you should make the baby food before Shabbos. Is that what we're saying?
Again, baby food is a little bit more complicated. Like we spoke about last week, it depends on if there are other options and if not. If there are other options and you do have the ability to avoid nesinas hamayim into a thick batter, then I would avoid that. I think now, this didn't exist when I had my first child, but I think now they make pre-made.
But it's the same thing with guacamole. You don't have to have guacamole. Meaning, if that holds true, that if you make it before Shabbos, it's not as good, so therefore you can make it.
That's true.
Shabbos.
That's
but
true.
Baby cereal,
that's true.
If you
that's
make
true.
Cereal before Shabbos, it probably wouldn't.
That's true.
Be as good. No, it would get like dry.
It gets very
dry.
Thick. Also.
So
right.
Just, like, you
so
can't.
Wouldn't right. Right, so let me ask, so that's really a question for you. I mean, some people will say for Shal Shadis, that's what they always serve.
But you have to serve guacamole.
No, so you're right. So then, it wouldn't stay.
You would like need, the ones that
cost
the
yeah.
pasta one.
But the thing is that you need guacamole just as much as you need baby cereal.
Probably just
you don't really
cereal more.
Right.
I'm saying if you would. Have to choose.
Right.
Then you
saying for a diet, for the children's diet, they don't have other options.
Right.
Right.
I'm saying guacamole, there's never a situation where you have to have one.
Right.
Would we then say that baby cereal is just a...
No, it would be the same thing. It would be the same exact thing. The same Shiloh, Nisina Samayim. What?
So are we saying there's no problem with making cereal, baby cereal on Shabbos before Shabbos?
No, you're right. If it's avoidable in any situation, then a person should ideally try to avoid it. It all depends. Meaning, it depends on your situation. It depends. I think what Ophir is pointing out is 100% right. If there are other options, it all depends on the predicament. Meaning, if there are other options, if let's say a woman comes to me, they said I was told to make the guacamole in the Shal Shadis that we're making, or there's a need that they need to make guacamole, or this happens all the time. Like you know, the point is, should it have been part of the menu originally? Maybe not. You know, maybe that wasn't the most ideal. So then, in that situation, if it's avoidable, it's great. You know, that's great. But if in terms of right, you're right. If you have the ability to feed other options, then you really should try to make those. Yeah.
So like we're still back to the same thing.
Yeah. Right. 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 I mean, the Shulchan Aruch writes, "Lizkenim uliyladim." It's mutter. The Shulchan Aruch writes for zkenim and for yilad. The Shulchan Aruch writes. The poskim say like this: If a person needs it, what does that mean? Needs it? So they say for zkenim and for children. So then a person is allowed to ignore Rebbe Shita, that they could do nesinas hamayim as long as they're going to do the shinoi at the time of Lisha. So. The poskim say because there's nothing else that they're going to have to eat then. So if there are other options, so then the poskim say, so then it really becomes equal to an adult. Now, I say that, you know, with hesitancy, because there are a lot of situations that a person comes and they say, my child really likes baby cereal. And it's very hard, and they're very picky on what they eat, and I really can't. So, again, if they can get pre-bought, a lot of times you don't get pre-bought. Or, I don't know, there's issues. I've never even seen the pre-bought. Like, maybe there are issues with the pre-bought. Or, I didn't get to before Shabbos pre-bought. And this child is very picky in terms of what they're eating. So then I think, you know, then that would be a situation where it would be makel. Ideally, in terms of making the menu originally, is that the most ideal? No. I think Rebbe should be taken into account. Either to make it into a thin batter, which, again, is not ideal because it's not going to taste good. But then, you know, but at the end of the day, there are certain situations that it will be mutter. And those situations, it will be mutter also for guacamole. But you're right, 100%. I agree with you 100%. In an ideal situation for the guacamole, if you're going to have to do, I don't know, does guacamole always need nesinas amayim? Can you make guacamole without lemon?
I don't know.
What? So let's talk about that. We didn't finish the guacamole. There are more issues with guacamole. We're just talking about the leisha aspect.
What if you do everything before Shabbos except add the avocados? So then it's not really a liquid at that point. Is it like the tomatoes?
Wait, what do you put it? What do you put it in?
If you have the tomatoes cut, the lemon juice, everything all mixed together before Shabbos, so the lemon juice is on the tomatoes, and then when Shabbos starts, you just add the avocado.
Isn't there a problem with the avocado?
No, so that's exactly where we're about to get to. One second, we'll get to that. 1 second. So you put the tomato. 1 second. So the tomatoes are just sitting in juice.
Yeah.
But so then why isn't what when I'm aren't I just going to pour it in?
Well, it's not really juicy at that point because it's all mixed with the tomatoes.
So what is it? If I would pour it out, would that like be a paste?
No,
it's kind of like sitting in liquid. Right.
It's like a tomato salad.
Right. So I think it would be the same thing.
Okay.
But again, it's not the most ideal, but if a person needs it, so then that would be a situation that a person could rely on. But you're right. If a person doesn't need it, he doesn't need it.
But yeah. Did he say this, like, if there's a food that is not like that, you make it for Shabbos and make it on Shabbos? But did he say if it's a food that you need, or he did say any food
that you're not going to have.
If you need it.
But that's what Ophir is asking. So then the same thing with...
Goes out the window.
So then baby cereal also. Baby cereal also, she said.
But now, why are we jumping to the conclusion of, okay, so then we should only have if we need it. Maybe we should say... No, so then he would say that that's also okay. And then
right. Right. So use this kula for baby cereal also.
Right.
Because if you would make baby cereal from Erev Shabbos, it would be bad. So therefore, you should be allowed to put it in before Shabbos based on this idea.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I didn't see it inside.
No, that's what he says.
Like he's saying,
he says any food that will be miskalkel. Here. It's in Pei Dalet in the Shaar Tzion. Uba'ava, which is a thick batter. Uba'ava machmir ha'yesh oimrim b'pnei nesinas ha'mashke. Right? The yesh oimrim, which is the opinion of Rebbe, is machmir based on nesinas ha'mashke. Kosav ataz. Dibitznon. Mipnei she'i efshar lasos me'erev Shabbos samchinan adeya kamaisa disviralei disviralehu deloy amrina nesinas hamashka zeu gibulo ve'etiku gamken el yarab ledino. It's e efshar lasos mibodyom. So now, baby cereal, here's the shiloh. Baby cereal, is that really true? Can you make it into a thin batter? You don't want it. You don't want to make it into the... So you're saying the child's not going to eat it? Right? Right? Yeah, I hear. So say, based on this Mishnah Berurah, a new heter, that it's Eav Shermi Bodyom, and the same way we want it to be Matir guacamole based on the Sharatian. So now we could be Matir, the baby cereal, even if we're being Machmer Lechat Chila for Rebbe. But over here, it's not possible to be Machmer for Rebbe, because then you're not going to be able to eat this food. And if you're not able to eat this food, so then it should be Matir. I like it. Okay, let me think about it, and I'll get, but I definitely hear. So now let's continue with the guacamole. So now that we're being matir and basically everything is becoming mutter, so let's see if we can be matir a few more things. So the issue is the guacamole is a little bit complicated, and that really gets into an absolutely new malacha. In addition to lush, there is another malacha that we have to be concerned with when we are making salads and we are preparing our meals. And the malacha that we have to be concerned with is the malacha of tochin, the malacha of grinding. The Gemara points out that a person is not allowed to be parasilka on Shabbos, and the Gemara is not 100% clear what that entity that you're cutting up is. So some Rishonim, fascinatingly enough, hold that what that's talking about is wood. You're not allowed to chop up wood on Shabbos. The Rosh, the Balei HaTosfos, they're of the opinion that there is no malacha of tochin when it comes to ochel and food, which is fascinating. The Rambam is of the opinion that, no, it applies to ochel, but it's only ochel that you're planning on cooking. It's only if you're tochin it al menas levashel, in order to cook it. If that would be the case, says the Beis Yosef points out, according to all these Rishonim, you barely have any issues of tochin in the kitchen on Shabbos afternoon when you're preparing for your meal. But we don't paskin like that in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that the classic tochin, which we assume applies to fruits and vegetables, and many of our salads, will have the issue of tochin. However, and this is a very big however, and make sure you remember this however, comes along the Rashban is Chuvas, and points out the following Kiddush. The Rashba is talking about a person who is feeding bread to chickens. And the Rashba says the chicken can't eat the entire slice of bread. So if you crumble it up, then he will be able to eat it. Says the Rashba that's mutter. Why? Because the chicken is eating it immediately. And any time you're being tochen miyad, that would be a permissibility in tochi. Now, there is no Gemara that says what the Rashba just said. There is a Gemara that we referred to at the beginning of when we were smoozing before the shir. The Gemara introduces the concept of miyad, of doing something immediately beforehand, in the context of the malacha of borer, of selecting. The Rashba borrowed from the malacha of borer and applied it to malacha of tochin. And the Rashba said something fascinating, that not only do you have a heter when it comes to borer, you also have a heter when it comes to the malacha of tochin, that if you're chopping up for immediate use, that would be something that would be mutter. Now, why should that be? It makes sense, because the Rashba understood, just like there's a heter that I don't view a person doing a malacha activity, selecting is more the malacha orientation when it's in the harvesting, when it's in the grain houses, when it's to select for storing for future purposes. But
But if a person's doing it while he's eating or right before the meal, that's not classic borer. That's the heter of derech achila. So the Rashba said the same logic should apply to tochen as well. If a person's cutting something, what's the difference if he's in the kitchen or if he's eating, on his plate and he's cutting up? So that would be something that's miyad, that's derech achila. Yeah. I didn't say we paskin like this. But or that's what the Rashba said. So far, that's all the Rashba said. That's clearly what the Rashba holds. That was that there. There might be other opinions that have another reason. What you might are about to say is probably the Smag's approach to that scenario. But clearly, the Rashba did not hold of that of any other heter in that scenario, which will have ramifications according to the Rashba. Meaning, if you have some other reason that you think that that situation would be mutter, the Rashba clearly did not agree to you. So the Rashba, by implementing that kula, clearly thought that that was the only reason why it would be mutter. Otherwise, he doesn't have any source for his heter.
Right, he thinks that it would be for all items, not just gedulei karka.
Well, no, this is for sure gedulei karka. I thought you were saying a different kula. Bread is gedulei karka. I thought you were going in a different direction. That it was something that was grinded up already. Yeah. That, we'll get to there. But that's Jimmy too. This is gedulei karka. So, but let's get to gedulei karka. So we're going to get to there. But yes, if there is a rule which we're going to say that it applies only to gedulei karka, bread is considered gedulei karka, and therefore it applies over here. And the Rashba said it's miyad. So because there's no Gemara like this, and the Magen Avraham points out that the Shilta Giborim was not a fan from borrowing from one malacha to the other, come on. The Gemara says it by borer. The Gemara never said it by tochen. You're being matir and iser deoraisa over here based on your, idea that now what should apply to one should apply to the other. Not everyone was convinced that this Rashba is correct. Shilta Giborim was not convinced, and probably other Rishonim were not convinced that didn't mention it. And therefore, I'll tell you as follows. Before we get into the details of back to the guacamole, I suggest that whenever you're going to get into a shaila of tochen, always, or whenever you're going to do tochen, whenever you're going to dice something up, always do it right before the meal. Because no matter what the situation is, or no matter how sticky of a situation, or how small you might have sliced things up, at the end of the day, what do you have always in your back pocket? You have a rashba. So, it's a good person to meet up with in the Beis Din Shalmaila. Any single Shaila, you're going to always be Mitzarif as long as it. Now, when are you not going to have the Rashba? If I decide to dice up and prepare for my meal before I go to Shul, before I pick up my husband from Da'or, before I went to Davening. Because then that's not Samach L'Suda. Samach L'Suda means the activity right before the meal. Whatever. It's not necessarily that has to be a minute. Rav Moshe writes, it could be, it's all relative. It could be however long it takes. But the point is, Rav Moshe says, you didn't first do it, and then you went for your stroll. And then you went for your activity. You did it right before the meal. That's what miyad is. So I suggest, just as a safety net, to always do things and always get into the dicing activity with the Rashba in your pocket to do it as samach as possible. Now, if you want to ask me, do we paskin like the Rashba? So not necessarily, because the Mishnah Brura, and quoting the Beis Yosef, says not all the Rishonim accept the Rashba. So just to rely on the Rashba alone is something that we're not 100% comfortable. The Mishnah Brura says anyone who is cutting things up very small, samach l'suda, you should not, give him Musar or Bimocha, because he has the Rashba to rely on, Yesh Lam Al Milismoch. But for a person to do it L'chadchila, he suggests that we shouldn't do it. So what should we do? So says the Mishnah Brura, don't slice it up into Tochin size. Okay, great. Rabbi, what is the size for Tochin? So I do not have an answer to that question, because the Yoreim did not have an answer to that question. The Yoreim, one of the Rishonim, asked the question, what is the size for the malacha of tochen? And he says, I have no idea. So, the answer is as follows, says the Mishnah Brura. We don't know the exact size, but we definitely know that it's not big. So as long as you're making it a little larger than the smaller size, then you're not going to be in violation of Tochin, and you'll do that Samach L'Suda, so then I have two things that are assisting me, and that's how I'm going to cut up my vegetables. And I'm not going to use a vessel that's made for dicing. Meaning one of those, I mean, the ones that I could picture is those alligator things. You know what I'm saying? The ones that look like the choppers. The choppers. Now, there is a chiddush of Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe was of the opinion that everything I just said applies. I like this. This is like the, we had the, last week we had the phrase of keep a distance from the instance. So here, there's a difference between the slicers and the dicers. The dicers are tochen. Because you, those are small. Those are dak. I mean, that's pretty much as small, unless you go to like Eretz Yisrael and, you know, they can make the Israeli salads tiny, tiny, tiny. They're like little cubes. But we can't do that in America. We don't know how to, you know. Oh, to make it even. Okay, so that would for sure be a kliya miyuch lekach. But, says Rav Moshe, a chiddush. And I don't know if all poskim agreed with him on this. But said Rav Moshe that slicing is different than dicing. And if you put something into like an into a slicer, that would not be a kliya miyuch lekach. Let's say you put like an egg into a slicer, that would not be a kliya miyuch lekach, assuming there would be a problem with that. Okay? So therefore, if you're going to be slicing things, so then you, like Rav Moshe writes, his kasha is, how can you say slicing is usser? So if I cut a pickle into four pieces, I just violated tochen, it can't be. So therefore, Rav Moshe says, when it comes to slices, it's mutter. According to Rav Moshe, I would think that, some people have asked me, in you know, you'll help me out with this, the julienne, what's it called? The strings? You know, for the fake sushi salad. That's my type of sushi salad. What's it called? Julienne?
Yeah, like...
What's it called? The julienne slicer?
Julienne something. What
is it?
It's
like
the thing
long...
The man,
like a mandolin?
A mandolin.
Right. Yeah. So what's it called? Julienne mandolin?
No, it's called a mandolin.
So why am I saying julienne?
Because it's called julienne when you...
Like
the
style of
cutting. Oh, I thought it's like a company. Okay, so l'chora, Rav Moshe wasn't talking about this, but l'chora Rav Moshe would be matir that also, because that's not dicing it into pieces, but that's slicing. L'chora, according to Rav Moshe, again, if you would use this Rav Moshe again, and you would be mitzaref it like the Rashba, that it's all samach l'suda. So you have two things going for you in those situations. But Rav Moshe is saying that that's not a kli hamiyuch l'kach. And if you make this distinction between slicing and dicing, then it would be mutter. Yeah.
Is the size subjective, or you know, like the? I mean, I always like to cut my salad in small pieces.
Right.
Like my mother cuts her peppers really big.
Right.
So is it like? So maybe I make mine a little bigger than I normally would, but for somebody else, that would still be considered small.
Right. I think it would be somewhat objective, that when people would approach that, that would look more bigger than what would be normally the smallest type of pepper, according to most, yeah. So you should try to make it larger than usual, but again, it's a little bit funny that you would think that this is the first thing that was, you know, agreed upon in the Malacha of Tochin, and it's something that we're really not clear about, so it's kind of vague. But again, if you're mitzaref of a few different things, so then you kind of keep yourself in a safe corner. But came along the Chazon Ish, and he said, not when it comes to guacamole. Why? Chazon Ish said, there's a Tosefta. The Tosefta says, you're feeding, there's Kanim that are near you. There are old people there. And you want to feed the Kanim this date type of thing that you're crushing up so that they could eat it, right? So clearly these Kanim, you know, they had an issue with chewing, and therefore I have to take care of it for this Kanim to eat. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes this Tosefta. So the Chazon Ish says, what's the problem? If there's Kanim, so the Chazon Ish like is painting a picture in your head. He says, this Kanim sitting around your table, right? They got like the little napkin, you know, tucked under, you know, and they, like this is what the Chazon Ish assumed. So he said, I don't understand. What happened to the Rashba? The Rashba said that if it's miyad, it's mutter. So why is any of this problematic? So says the Chazon Ish, because there's a difference between everything we've been talking about up until now, chopping and dicing, which maybe the Rashba would apply to, which the Chazon Ish questions, even if we should rely on it, even in that situation. But, says the Chazon Ish, even the Rashba, who was the makel that miyad would be mutter, just like it applies to borer, it applies to tochen, would never apply if you're totally crushing it legamre and changing its entire consistency, and not just chopping it up into smaller pieces. And that's what you're doing for these skenim. Says the Chazon Ish over here, in order for this skenim to eat, you had to be merasik it legamre. You had to really crush it down. And if that's the situation, says the Chazon Ish, that's like, whoa, that's super tochen. Says the Chazon Ish, there's not even going to be a kula. You don't even have the Rashba in the Beis Din Shomayla. You have no one to rely on. There is no heter miyad. Even the Rashba would agree to me, says the Chazon Ish. So Chazon Ish says, you want to talk to me whether or not you should rely on the Rashba in general? That we could talk about. And the Mishnah Berurah said, obviously, only if the vegetables are certain, are larger, it's a question. And the Chazon Ish wasn't excited about it, but he said, but even if you want to rely on the Rashba wouldn't even rely in this situation where you're crushing it, legamre. So then comes the Chazon Ish and he says, and therefore, mothers that are what? That are crushing bananas for their children, you have no heter. That's an Isser D'Oraisa, says the Chazon Ish, and you have no one to rely on, and you should never do that on Shabbos. Says the Chazon Ish, so therefore if you need, and if I'm not stressing need, says the Chazon Ish, you are allowed to. When you're crushing your banana, you can serve bananas to your children, but you have to crush it with the back of your spoon, the handle of the spoon, right? That's the way you should use it, b'shinui, okay? Says the Chazon Ish, you're not allowed to do it in a normal fashion, that's an Issa D'Oraisa, but you can crush it with the handle. Just like the Gemara said, the Gemara has this shinoi when it comes to peppers. The Gemara says you use the kab de sakina, the handle of a knife, when you're crushing the peppers. Came along Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he says he doesn't understand this Chazon Ish at all. And he fundamentally disagrees with the Chazon Ish. Rav Moshe Feinstein. Says Rav Moshe, first of all, the whole imagery and the way we're presenting this case of this Canaan, who says that their napkins are tucked in into their shirts and that they're ready to eat? Maybe there's no raya against the Rashba from the whole Tosefta to begin with. Maybe they weren't ready to eat. I don't know. Maybe I was preparing this concoction beforehand, before they are called into, the cafeteria for lunch, whatever it is, you know. Who says that it's mamish biyad, that it's a kasha on the Rashba? And then he said also, and I don't understand fundamentally, tchina means what? Tchina means you're changing the size. Says Rav Moshe, I disagree fundamentally with you. You take a solid banana, and now you keep everything connected, and you what? You just change the consistency, you mash it up. Said Rav Moshe, I don't think you did anything. That's not tochen at all. Says Rav Moshe, if you really back me into a corner, you really want to know my honest opinion, I don't even think you did anything usher even midrabbanan. Not only do I disagree that it's not an isser d'oraisa, I don't think there's any proof to anything from this Tosefta, and I think, honestly, it's heter gomer, and you could totally crush it. And you can crush a banana. But that's ideally, that's what the Rav Moshe originally says. Now, Rav Moshe continues and he says, but Chazon Ish is the Chazon Ish, and once the Chazon Ish said it, so I think the practice should be that we should follow the shinoi that he suggested. But then Rav Moshe says, but if you ask me honestly, I don't even understand that within the perspective of the Chazon Ish either. Says Rav Moshe, if you remember from last week, we pointed out that any time you do a shinoi, so that brings it down from the level of D'Oraisa to a D'Rabbana. And if you, the Chazon Ish, are trying to make a case that what? That crushing into a new consistency, mashing the banana, is really the Oraisa territory that even the Rashba wouldn't even be maskim to, because that's such a chomer activity, so then I don't even think a handle should be a heter, because it still should be at least Aser Midrabanan. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, I tell people that they should, out of respect to the Chazon Ish, that the practice should be with the handle. But if you'd ask him bottom line, he doesn't understand why that should be. But he says, once the Chazon Ish said it, that should be the practice. Now, one could argue and say something similar to what we said last week, that the Chazon Ish understood, just like the Gemara applied it by peppers, that when there's such a shinoi that's removing it so far from what it is, so then or from what the usual activity is, so then sometimes you found that Chazal permitted shinoi, like we had when it came to Lisha, that Lisha became mutter, you know, the kneading, if we just implemented a shinoi. So even there, why wasn't it asrim derabbanan? So certain times Chazal saw that if there's such a shinoi that's so significant, that would even bring it down to a level not only of asrim derabbanan, like a classic klachriyad, but to be heter gomer. But Rav Moshe thought you didn't need that, and therefore would be mutter. So now, outside of the world, and then Rav Moshe writes, but why isn't it lush to now, when you're feeding the banana to your child, why aren't you mixing, and that should be the issue of lush, even though I'm saying that it's not a malach of tochin. So says Rav Moshe, what lush? There's no liquid that's being put in here. So he says, what do you mean? There's moisture. The banana has moisture. So says Rav Moshe, lush doesn't apply to its own natural liquids. Lush only applies when you combine two separate entities, and you combine them to be a new concoction, a new paste, or a new blila. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, he thinks the whole thing is mutter. Now, Rav Moshe was talking about bananas and avocados. Because now if a person is going to make guacamole, they not only have to be concerned with the lush aspect, which we totally just threw out the window and we're not there, but a person now has to be concerned with the tochin aspect. According to the Chazon Ish, the malacha that's on the radar is not only lush, but is a malacha of tochin. So anything that you're going to be involved with in the making of the guacamole salad has to be with the back of the spoon, the handle of the spoon, because you have to be concerned with tochin. According to Rav Moshe, that wouldn't be the case, but Rav Moshe said, in deference to the Chazon Ish's opinion, a person should still use that. And it's not just making guacamole salad. What? So egg salad is really, I was about to get to, egg salad is really a totally different heter. What about making egg salad? So we said, and here I'm not even going to accept your kulas, because egg salad I think tastes fine when it comes to making egg salad Erev Shabbos. So why is there no tochen issue when it comes to egg salad? So came along the Trumas HaDeshen, and the Trumas HaDeshen said something that's also not in the Gemara. The Gemara does say in certain malachos that these malachos were limited to items that grow from the ground. The Gemara says it by disha. The Gemara says machlek is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan in disha lebigdulei karka. Squeezing the malacha of squeezing of schita, which is a tolda of dash, which we haven't got to, which is something that's important to really discuss, probably also in the context of guacamole, because if you're going to squeeze your lemon into the guacamole, so why shouldn't that be dush? It shouldn't be dush. There's a heter for that. I don't even need you guys for that heter. We have a heter. So there's a heter that I could tell, but I need to give you more background in terms of explaining why squeezing the lemon is not a malacha of dush. But in theory, squeezing a lemon is a problem on Shabbos because of schita, because of malacha of dush. So Gemara says, beferish there, ein disha ela bigdulei karka. Disha, that concept of squeezing and threshing, is only by things that grow from the ground. Gemara never says that by tochin. However, the Trumas HaDeshen said that when it comes to also feeding animals, interestingly, he was talking about feeding animals. So the Trumas HaDeshen wrote, I discussed the Shaila, can I feed animals basar that I'm going to make into smaller pieces because they're not going to be able to eat it? So the Trumas HaDeshen wrote his own Shailas. He that's the best Trubus, and they're most halachic, and all Shulchan Aruch Rebbe Shita. That's based on the Trumas Hadeshin. That's the Ramah always quotes Trumas Hadeshins. Half of the Ramah's Psakim, Ashkenazic practice, are based on the Trumas Hadeshin. So that's why Rebbe is the Lechatchila Shita over there. So the Trumas Hadeshin writes, there are two reasons why it's mutter. Number one, he says, the concept of Tochen only applies to Gedulei Karka. Number two, he says, it can apply to non-Gedulei Karka, but only if they're not considered Ochel without that, meaning the following. For me to take a raw piece of meat, the animal can't eat this raw piece of meat unless I crush it up. So for me to now crush it up, that would be a problem. So now, some poskim say, it's not 100% true what we just said, according to the second approach of the Trumas Hadeshin, that Tochen only applies to Gedulei Karka. I could cook up a case that there would be Tochen by non-Gedulei Karka, namely what? A raw piece of meat to feed my animal, something that they weren't able to eat on their own were it not for me to crush it up. But bottom line, why do we view always that Tochen applies to Gedulei Karka? Not because fundamentally Tochen is only limited to Gedulei Karka, because what the Trumas Hadeshin said originally is most of our cases. Most of our cases in the kitchen, we're not crushing up raw meat. You know, we're not feeding animals on Shabbos. So bottom line, we quote it as the first opinion as Ein Tochen el Gedulei Karka. That Tchina doesn't apply to what? To meat? To chicken? To eggs? And all of these situations, we would not have to be concerned with Tochen. Because of this, if I would really want to understand fundamentally what the Trumas Hadeshin meant, it wasn't that he was comparing it to what the Gemara said, that Ein Dishel B'Gedulei Karka, that the Malacha was linked to Gedulei Karka. He was saying, Ein Tochen by things that are already ochel, that are already made into things that are edible on their own. If you would give me an egg, I could eat the egg on its own without crushing it up. So therefore, bottom line, functionally, it's only by Gedulei Karka, and therefore that's the heter by egg salad. So by egg salad, you wouldn't have to be concerned with the tochen aspect. You can cut the eggs as small as you want. Again, never to use a kli miyuchad lekach. Why is that, by the way? Why can't I use a dicer, the alligator thing, for if I'm not going to be involved in the malacha? Because even if I'm not involved in the malacha, I can't do something that appears like a weekday activity. It's called uvdin dechol. So for me to use a vessel that is used usually for the malacha purpose, so I can't even use it for an egg type thing. So that's why Rav Moshe's psak that we quoted earlier is very significant, because Rav Moshe said, yeah, that's when it comes to a dicer, but not when it comes to a slicer. So to slice the eggs, that wouldn't be uvdin dechol. That doesn't that's not perceived as a weekday activity. It's not the malach of tochen at all. Rav Moshe thought slicing is different than dicing, according to his opinion, and therefore a person would be allowed to slice the egg. But in terms of when you're cutting with a knife, even if you're cutting it very small, as long as I'm not using any kli hamiyuchad lekach, eggs have absolutely no problem of tochen whatsoever. The only thing you have to be concerned of is, like we said last week, the nesinas hamayim of Rebbe, of putting in the water in terms of the lush. And when you're mixing up, you have to make sure to remember that you're going to have a shinoi at the shas gibol, because that would be the malacha of lisha. And even if you're putting in mayonnaise, which we said last week, wouldn't have the issue of nesinas hamayim, because mayonnaise is not water. But at the time of the mixing, so then you would have that issue of lisha and gibel that you would need a shinui for. So that's in terms of the bottom line of guacamole. The bigger shiloh of guacamole is really the tochen shiloh. But even that we were able to really clear away based on Rav Moshe's assumption that he doesn't think putting the same item into another consistency, if you're not cutting it into pieces, that would not be a violation of the malacha. Whereas the Chazon Ish assumed that no, changing the consistency, even if it's all still connected, even if you would hold one side and you could still hold the other, said the Chazon Ish, that would be a shaila d'oraisa, and therefore you should. But we tend to be machmir for the Chazon Ish on this and try, unless it's necessary, and try to use the back and the handle in order to do the tochen bishino. Yeah, you had a question?
Not a question.
Yeah.
Would your chopper be a muksa then?
would your chopper be muktzah? So kli shemalachta le'iser and muktzah are not the same thing. We have to learn a little bit about that. We have to have a separate series on muktzah. But would it be a kli shemalachta le'iser? Yes. Yeah. So you can move it letzarech guf or letzarech makoma. But yeah.
And also, what if you, let's say, you cut up your avocados, like you didn't mash them, but you made them like chunky.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like as people are mixing, it might get more mushy. So, like, should you not do that?
Nah, I think that's fine. Meaning, even if that happened, first of all, you're not miskaven for that to happen. So it's a davar sheino miskaven. So I think that's mutter. And again, Rav Moshe would say that that's all mutter. So I think that that's too far. That's, you know, that even Rav Moshe, I don't think he would have to. But it's a good question.
To cut up grapes for your baby, that's okay because.
So that's a totally different issue. Of we have to get to that. No, that's very important. Mm-hmm. The. To cut up, no, to slice the grapes, I don't think you're getting involved in the issue of tochin. I'm just, the point that I have to give a shear on, and we have to discuss, is the juices that come out of that. Because, there, you know, we have to talk about tzchitas peros, in terms of what's the halacha with the juices, and how to deal with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're cutting them
in the smallest that they could. Mm-hmm. So you don't.
Small. So let's say you're cutting a grape into quarters. That's small.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. I think in such a situation, so then. I think that the Rash, you know, you would rely on the Rashba. And that it's miyad, you know, cause you're not mechuyev to choke your baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Right, that's the full thing.
Right.
But I don't know.
No.
Then you can only give them chicken on Shabbos or cheese.
No, right. No, I think that that would be a situation where the Rashba. You know, we don't know what dak is, but Chazal did know that children were eating grapes. You know what I'm saying? Like that, that didn't. So the and they weren't choking them. You know, they lived on. So it's miyad, and it's probably not dak, and you know, litzorech. You know, someone who doesn't have the ability to eat otherwise. You know, ishlam al milismo for the kids. Yeah.
But to cut chicken really small wouldn't be a problem.
What?
To cut chicken in really small.
No, it's heter gomer. No, there's no iser. No. It's only the rat. It's only grapes, because the shaila is relevant because grapes are gedulei karka. But even so, the rashba is not. The rashba. I'm presenting it wrong. I presented the Mishnah Berurah first. The Mishnah Berurah says it's not ideal to only rely on the rashba. So therefore, when I'm presenting, because you're all making salads. So why, you know, why should you get into a machlokas? But the Ramah quotes the Rashba. I'm saying the Ramah, that's where this is accepted la halacha. The Rashba is not discounted, and the poskim say where you need to, you know, you could rely on the Rashba. So I think that would be a perfect case to rely on the Rashba, you know, and I, the Mishnah Berurah, said that we try to combine. Yeah, but there's no other options over here, so I can't be machmir, you know, in this situation. So I think that's totally fine. So I don't know what sushi salad is. We just we.
But I would think that's something also that.
Wait, so let's.
Good enough day. That gets definitely watery.
That's definitely well because I was trying to describe like the consistency of a dressing of a sushi salad. Because it's right.
No, but you can make. But the dressing doesn't spoil if you make it the day before, does it?
No, but the mixing.
But you said when you mix it, it's then it becomes the mayonnaise.
But it's like a mayonnaise. I was actually thinking about it afterwards, and me and Josh were saying that I should probably clarify the question, because it's almost like a Caesar dressing. So it's not like mixing mayonnaise with the rice. It becomes like a thinner kind of mayonnaise.
When you take that, what do you call it? The dressing for the sushi salad? When you take it, and does it quickly pour out, or is it?
Yeah.
So quicker than mayonnaise.
Yeah, it's not
mayonnaise anymore.
Because you mix it
mayonnaise
with other
stuff. So now, okay, so that's Nesina Samayim. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that it's Nesina Samayim, and it's going into rice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you're telling me that would also be like guacamole, that it would be not as good.
Oh, not as good. Yeah, it would not be as good.
If you made it for a challenge, it gets
more. Because you're gonna make a new like mixture, so like egg salad, like thick.
Mm-hmm.
Like it would be different than a regular salad.
We make sushi salad, but it's not this. We're wrong. We call sushi salad something else. Yeah.
It kind of just becomes more of like a mush than a salad. I don't know. I can't describe
it. It's like rice that has some dressing in it, but it's not like a salad. It's like a green salad. The dressing is kind of like exterior.
Right. Yes, yeah, so, and
it's almost like absorbed in the rice.
Right. So basically, the mascana that we're coming out with is that I have to go back to yeshiva and teach them that Rebbe's sheet of Nesina Samayim is not nogeh anymore because everything spoils. Pretty much.
Except for egg salad.
Right. Egg salad saves Rebbe. But if you're making like the tar that Rebbe was dealing with, like.
Is it
yeah, I guess. I don't see why you shouldn't be able to make them. Yeah. 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 If you have like big vegetables that just have liquid on them, the poskim say that's not coleslaw would be mutter. That's like big, or even potato salad. You know, they don't potato salad. The poskim say don't even need elisha when you're mixing it, which I was a little surprised because I would look at potato salad sometimes, mm-hmm. But poskim say, and again, I think it depends on what the consistency of the potato salad. I think there's different types of potato salad. But the poskim say the potato salad is just, you know, it's nikur that they're big pieces of potato within some sort of cream or whatever, some sauce there. That's like yurakos with the dressing on top of it. That's like a salad. That's not a combination. That's not leisha. So coleslaw, potato salad, all those don't fall in leisha. But anytime you're going to have a consistency that's combining all together, that's really becoming one entity, then you would get involved in lush. And again, obviously, you would have to be concerned with the gibo, but in terms of being concerned of nefsinis hamayim, that's lush, and I don't have the ability to be mishana it. Again, if it spoils, it spoils. If it's not going to be as good, it's, you know, it's yef shem ibod yom.
So can you like a
broil
eggplant?
One second, is it not going to be as good, or is it also just
it gets
watery? Okay.
Like the rice gets hard, you know.
Well,
it's like,
I guess that's right. That's that. Yeah, that's the entire thing. Yeah.
So if you take boiled eggplant and you mix mayonnaise with it, like mayonnaise and onions, right?
Mayonnaise and onions.
So is that just also the all you have to do is do the back of the spoon?
Yeah, mayonnaise never has a shallow
nesina samayim.
Yeah.
You make it
on top. Right.
So it's better to make it on top.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's in terms of the tochein. Just trying to think, is there anything else in terms of tochein? So we didn't fully cover, it's getting a little late, we didn't fully cover all of the halachas of tochein, about other situations of tochein, and what Chazal extrapolated from the halacha of tochein, which actually might have ramifications legabe medication on Shabbos. It all comes from the malacha of tochein, and how does that interact with our situations on Shabbos also? So maybe, unless the, you know, there's anything specific, I don't know the direction. There are a few different points that I'd like to mention, which I mentioned briefly earlier when I thought you were referring to that in terms of the bread, about situations where tochein achat tochein, but it's a little late right now. So we can continue tochein, we can go to medication, or we can discuss more of the grapes issue, the schita issue, and, you know, the relevance of the guacamole. Could have another hack on guac, you know, in terms of the lemon, because those shilas do come out. I mean, all this is lemaisa. So I don't really have a preference. I think if you want to stay in tochein because it's masudr, we can, but it's just going to go into medication. You might not want to hear that. And... But I'm serious, you might want to hear it. But no, it's important. But there's also schita, so we could save it for afterwards. Is there any preference? So stay in tochein, and then we'll get to schita afterwards. Okay. Yishkoach.